Hey guys, welcome to the show. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'm your host on The Pursuit of Wellness. I'm a fitness enthusiast myself, and by chatting with guests, I hope to learn a lot, and hopefully you will too. I'm also the co-founder of FitNut, a platform focused on fitness and healthy living, where you can find out more about the show. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with guests, listeners, and discuss their journeys. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @tpowpodcast. This is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on manchamedia.com. This week on the show, we've got Jaiveer Hans. Jaiveer is a certified international advanced fitness instructor, which he pursued and acquired from London. He worked as a full-time personal trainer with LA Fitness and trained multiple people from across the globe. He's the best example of a fitness enthusiast for us. We chat with him about all the changes he's made to achieve what he has, along with some great points and insights on how you can get fit yourself as well. Let's jump right in, guys. Hey, Jaiveer. Welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man? Nice to see you. How have you been?
Been good. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here with us.
My pleasure, man. Anytime.
So we've already given our guests a small introduction about you, but why don't you tell our guests a little bit about yourself in your own words?
I am 29 years old. I did most of my education in terms of my master's in England. I worked there for about 4 or 5 years. And in the middle, I also pursued my certification in fitness instructing, which was about a 3-month course. And then I worked over there as a fitness instructor, as a personal trainer for about 6 months. And now I'm back in India and I'm working with my family full time.
What does a normal day look like for Jaiveer Hans right now?
So my normal day starts at about 6 a.m. I wake up, I go through a meditation routine. I go through some basic stretching to keep my body fluid. And after that, I read on various different newspapers and any particular book that I'm reading. I go through my work routine. It starts at about 9, finishes at about 5, 5:30 every day. And then I usually hit the gym about 4 times a week.
Where did it all begin for you? You mentioned that, you know, you did the certification there in London and you worked there as well. What was that light bulb going off in your head saying, you know what, I want to get some training certification?
That's a very good question on so many levels. So I've always been into sort of sporting and fitness and stuff in general. And, you know, when I sort of passed out of school, one essentially loses a means of engaging in a physical activity like a sport or anything of that sort, right? So when I went to London, I pursued my master's. During my master's, I gained a lot of weight because I just had really bad, you know, dietary habits and stuff. And then when I started working over there, that's when I sort of realized that it's important to sort of take it to the next level. I'm a bit of an extremist in that sense. So I thought that getting a certification would not just help me to help other people, but it'll also help me help myself on the journey. And it was only a 3-month course that I did. It certified me completely. It was quite intense. And I passed and I'm certified today.
So for you, it was more of a personal thing first, and then it got into, you know, pursuing the certification again as well.
Yes, exactly. It's always been a very personal thing for me. But I think when you sort of are so passionate about something personally, it ends up helping other people as well.
So tell us some, you know, essential changes you made to your own life during that time to have that transformation. Talk a little bit about your own philosophies when it comes to fitness and nutrition and maintaining this level of fitness.
Sure. Okay, so some of the lifestyle changes that I made over the years are, one is that I've permanently quit alcohol myself, just my own fitness goals, my own fitness regime. The second thing that I've done is that I make sure that I get at least 8 hours of sleep every single night. The third thing is some form of still activity like meditation, which I do every single morning, irrespective, 7 days a week. It massively helps you to sort of be focused in the gym and be focused on whatever activity you're doing. Yeah, these are some of the lifestyle changes that I made. My diet has been the same throughout. It's made absolutely no difference. The way that's impacted my philosophy is that I believe that it's not just what you do in the gym, but also what you do outside the gym. That makes a big difference to your overall, you know, how you sort of achieve your goals and the direction that you're going in.
That's awesome, man. So, you know, you've talked about the meditation bit. You've talked a little bit about the spiritual bit. That's something that, you know, we haven't covered so much in our previous episodes. You know, how is something like that adding focus to your workout? And you also mentioned about, you know, it helping your work life as well. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how the meditation aspect, kind of bringing that into your regime every day, has affected your workout and your professional life.
I got into meditation, and I got into specifically transcendental meditation because while I was living in London, I started binge drinking a lot. I started drinking excessively at work and even after work. And so, you know, I researched the internet and I came across this TM website and stuff, and I started doing it. I think within a couple of weeks of doing it, I ended up quitting cigarettes. I think about 3 months after doing that, I ended up quitting alcohol. An obvious consequence of that is that my fitness regimen started giving me better results. And I mean, if you're living a cleaner life and a life where you're just aware of everything that's going on around you, even on a macro and a micro level, it ends up impacting your performance even at work. And so the way it impacted my performance at work was that I was just a lot more present with my entire staff. I was a lot more mindful of the decisions I was taking. I was a lot more effective and efficient at everything that I was doing. And just, I was very aware of a good and a bad decision, you know, and that's basically where meditation has helped me, is that you know what a good decision is and you know what a bad decision is.
So that's great to hear, man. I mean, the awareness bit, you know, the effectiveness bit, the efficiency bit, I think it's great that, you know, people are able to perform at a much higher level because of cutting out certain elements in their life, right? Jumping specifically into your workouts, tell us some things about your workout. What do you enjoy doing the most? Where do you see maximum impact on your results?
I actually have a very strict workout regime, and I've followed the same regime for the past 8 to 10 years now. I do a 4-day-a-week split, and the reason I do a 4-day-a-week split is because I want to keep it flexible in terms of any social events, a long day at work, or if I'm not feeling well, if I have an injury, time to recuperate and stuff like that. I mean, just to give you a broad view of the whole thing, I do 2 to 3 muscle groups every single day. And then on the 4th day, I do all the muscle groups, touching maybe about 3 to 4 sets per muscle group, because I feel that span of about 3 to 4 days, when you've done a particular muscle, that's more than enough time for it to recuperate, and then you are sort of ready to attack it again. So I do a four day a week split.
And all of this is in the gym, or do you do like outdoor training?
No. I do a lot of outdoor training as well. I mean, I keep it very contextual. So if I'm traveling, for instance, if I'm outdoor somewhere, if I'm in a beautiful surrounding area, then I definitely stick to an outdoor workout, because I prefer fresh air as opposed to being indoors. But when I'm in Delhi, I try and sort of stick to an indoor workout.
And what's the split for you in terms of strength training, in terms of cardio, in terms of, you know, high intensity? Tell us a little bit about how you kind of structure your entire week or month's workout that way.
Sure. So in terms of intensity, it has to be intense every single time. There's no such thing as a low intensity workout. I mean, when it comes to me personally, because I feel like it's a complete waste of my time. So in terms of strength training and cardio, it has to be done with every single workout. Again, so if I'm working out 4 days a week, for instance, I will do strength training on 4 days, and I will do cardio on 4 days as well, because I believe that, you know, the cardio is obviously helping you a lot with the, you know, with the water retention and the weight loss and your heart, essentially. But the strength training is also getting you stronger. It's good for your bones. And that's what I advocate to anyone that ever asks me for any kind of advice, is that you have to, every single workout, try and club both strength training and cardio. Don't stick to just strength training or just to cardio in any one day, because you want to get the maximum out of your hour that you're training.
Awesome. And have you experimented personally with stuff like CrossFit and group classes, or do you kind of stick to yourself and do your own thing?
I mean, I've over the years, I've decided that I'm going to be sticking to my own devices. And that's because I'm taking the long term view in this, because, again, I'm speaking purely from my own perspective. Yep. For myself, is that if I want to keep training until I'm 75, 80, I have to be able to be completely self-reliant in whatever I'm doing, whatever
Absolutely.
The workout is. However, if I see that there's a very compelling group class going on somewhere, or, you know, there's a good CrossFit session, then I'm okay to be a part of it. But I feel like I achieve my goals best on my own, because there's no one that can motivate me better than myself.
Awesome, man. So it's almost like a very personal thing for you. And I think, you know, the reason that people pick group trainings or, you know, community workout is the motivation bit. So that's something that you're confident that you've locked down, right? Are there moments where you feel, you know, lethargic enough to say, you know, today I want to break? And, you know, how do you deal with that? You know, have you ever in the last, you know, years that you've been getting fit, dealt with a lull where you're just like not motivated or you don't feel like doing it? Is that something you've experienced?
I've experienced that a hell of a lot, and I experience that every single week. I think out of 4 days a week, I experience that at least once a week because of my work routine. But having said that, the question of taking a break just never comes into my mind. I'm just not allowed to take a break, right? I can be lethargic, and then you just learn how to deal with that particular emotion at the beginning of every single workout. And I mean, in 9 out of 10 cases, even a very lethargic person, when he gets into the gym, in that first 10 minutes when your body warms up and you get that first droplet of sweat, you forget about the lethargy that you experienced earlier, and you're just into the flow.
Yeah,
right?
So it's mind over body to get that first 10 minutes out.
Exactly.
So talking a little bit about, you know, the workouts in terms of that you've done, for some of our listeners that are, you know, new to this or wanting to get into being able to have an active lifestyle like you and to be able to maintain it for as long as you have, what are some ways that they can pick the right workout that will work for them, that they can see long-term benefits from?
There's two aspects to this. First of all, if you have a particular goal, for instance, there's a lot of women that want to get you know, ready for their wedding. They want to look, they want to get into their wedding dress. Or there's a lot of people that want to, you know, run a particular marathon on so-and-so date. So if you have a goal like that in mind, that makes it slightly easier for you. Because then there are professionals that can help you to get to that, that can help you with that particular area of fitness. But if you have, if you just want to generally get into the fitness space, what I'd recommend is that you, when you get into the gym, for about a week, week and a half, at least 2 weeks, test yourself with, you know, different weights. And when I say different weights, I don't mean heavy at all. Go in for not even medium weights, but light weights. And test with literally one exercise per body part and see how your body responds to it over the next week, week and a half. And then once you've done that, you've got that first-hand experience, then delve further into getting a personal trainer and stuff so that you know what the personal trainer is talking about and you know your own abilities. Yeah. Don't go to a personal trainer straight away.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of other episodes that we have talked about this is, you know, be committed to at least informing yourself a little bit as well before just jumping in and believing any trainer. And, you know, you and I have talked about that before this episode. A lot of people, like we discussed, talk about this outside that, you know, some people are just not as trustworthy in the gym as you think they are, just because they're built well, just because they have the gym's logo or, you know, they're a representative there doesn't mean that they're knowledgeable. I wanted to get your, you know, thoughts on how a newbie or somebody that's just kind of getting into the space, how do they assess, you know, who's knowledgeable, who's the right person to actually give them advice? Because this is dangerous, right? You take advice from somebody, you get injured, it could have long-term effects for you.
So, I mean, I think that's a very good question for various levels, because it's your trainer can either break or make you, right? And there are trainers that stick on with clients for years and years and years and have completely transformed their entire bodies and their entire mentality towards training. So I think the first thing that you have to look for when you speak to a trainer is I mean, I know it sounds very shallow and it sounds very conventional, but you have to look at the, you know, the person's
build. Their own
build.
Fitness level. Yeah.
Yes, their own fitness level and their aesthetics. So if there's most people that walk into a gym don't only want to be fit, they also want to look good, right? It's a byproduct of actually being fit. And so if you manage to find a trainer in your gym that has that aesthetic, that displays a certain amount of fitness that you aspire to, then that's definitely a win. The second thing that you want to do is ask for client success stories and ask for testimonials. And if they have a record of that, fantastic. But even if they don't, you know, just by speaking to someone, you can tell how truthful they're being.
Yeah.
And the third thing I'd probably say is look at the way that they interact with other people in the gym.
Interesting.
You know, because it's when you're in the gym, what you have to understand is for the trainer, that's a sales flow.
Yeah.
Right. So they're always going to be at their best, no matter whom they're speaking to, and no matter what they're doing. Because when I was a trainer, that was my primary job is that you're not just on your job when you're training, you're also on your job when you're not training. Because if you see me training somebody that looks good, then somebody else that doesn't look good will look to that person and say, oh, he's training that first person. That person looks good. That trainer must be good.
Yeah.
Right. So that makes a big difference. It's a constant sales battle going on amongst the trainers. So yeah, these couple of aspects you have to make sure. And I think also have a couple of one-on-one meetings with these trainers just to see how much they're listening to you vis-a-vis just pushing their philosophy onto you. Because even if I have a particular philosophy that's worked for me or that's worked for my particular clients in the past, it's not necessarily that it's going to work for your body type.
So are they actually listening to you and, you know, customizing their advice based on you're saying?
Yes, exactly. They have to be very, you know, open-minded towards and give you be very emphatic in terms of what you're saying, because everyone's problem is different. Somebody has an injury. Somebody wants to do a marathon. Somebody has a wedding.
Yeah.
So everyone's goals are different.
Yeah.
So look at how you know, keenly that person is listening to you.
Great. Jumping into another point about, you know, personal workouts and, you know, getting results. For people that, you know, want fat loss or weight loss, I feel like sometimes people don't know the difference, right?
Yeah.
What is the advice you could give for people that want to lose weight but might actually be in their weight category?
So, I mean, if you look at the whole construct of weight loss versus fat loss, people are getting more aware of it. I feel that it's still at a very slow pace. I can make someone lose their weight from 60 to 57 in a span of 4 days, in a span of 5 days, if I put them into a calorie deficit diet, whereby I ask them to eat a little less food, and if I ask them to drink less water, you know, they will lose a lot of weight. But that's not equivalent to losing fat, which takes a little bit longer to lose, and which is where your goal should be. So most of the programs that any program that you follow, whether it's with your trainer, whether you bought an online program or whatever it is, try and always go in for the fat loss workouts, because when you're trying to lose fat, you are automatically trying to lose weight. But this happens over time. But the other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, when you go in for a fat loss program, and if you've even bought a program online, let's say, for instance, you're an average male of 70 kilos. When you start losing fat and you've combined that with a little bit of strength workout, you're not going to lose a lot of weight, whereby even if you're losing fat, because you're doing strength training and building muscle, your weight is still going to be 70 kilos. Yeah. So this is a misnomer that, I'm going to the gym, I'm pushing all this weight, I'm doing all this cardio, but my weight is still the same. Yeah. It's not because you're not losing weight, it's because you're losing fat but gaining muscle.
And the correct metric to kind of keep that in check is the body fat percentage, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the ways. But
what are some other ways that they can do that?
I think for fat loss, the best and the most, you know, sort of convenient method is to trust the mirror, right? And, you know, every fortnight, take your shirt off in front of the mirror and measure the different parts of your body. And just look at the way you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, you can't hide fat.
Yeah, you'd see a visible difference in the fat loss, right?
Absolutely. But you have to be, when it comes to fat loss, it's a very slow and incremental process. So you have to trust the process more than anything else.
Yeah.
It's so not going to happen overnight.
The scale is not the only achievement calculator for you.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. If you're trying to lose weight, yes, then for weight loss. For instance, I mean, if you're a very overweight male of 150 kilos and your goal is to get to 100 kilos, then you trust the scale.
Of course, yeah.
You know, because then obviously losing 50 kilos is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And you will also look better at 100 kilos.
Obviously,
but if you're trying to lose fat, then no, you don't trust the scale at all.
Talking a little bit about your experience when you were in London and, you know, your own personal experience of being here in India, what would you say are some key differences that you've seen in the UK versus India in infrastructure, in professionalism in the space, and just the general ecosystem?
So there are a lot of differences, but the differences are sort of, they're diminishing as we go over time because of the infrastructure over here as well. It's literally as good as anywhere else in the world. I think over there, in terms of the professionals, you know, people, the trainers over there are definitely more qualified because the bodies that are churning out these trainers are extremely stringent. For instance, the course that I did, there was minimum, I had extensive numbers of exams and I had to get a minimum mark in each exam to ensure that I was a fitness trainer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I haven't come across any really, really stringent body over here that's churning out quality trainers. So I think there's a lack of that over here in terms of a difference. The other thing is that, people over there treat fitness, at least as far as I've seen, is that they treat it as a part of life.
Yeah.
It's like breathing or brushing your teeth or you know, taking a shower.
Yeah.
It's not something that's separate from your entire daily routine and something that should be treated completely separately.
Yeah, it plays a more permanent role in everybody's life.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's one of the key differences that I see. And that's the reason, I mean, when you walk on the streets, there are significantly more numbers of fitter people in the West.
Yeah,
and the absolutely. Reason behind that is that there is so much awareness and it's almost socially more acceptable to be fit than to be, you know, overweight.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I think you're, you know, completely on the money in terms of infrastructure, man. Like, I feel like more better equipment is coming to India. The investment that people are making into the ecosystem is great. In your experience now, what is, you know, from the time that you were here before you went abroad and now that you're back, how is getting fit in India become easier or more efficient? What are some things that you are seeing personally that can improve?
I think everything that you have in the West in terms of your foods, your infrastructure, everything inside and outside the gym is exactly the same. Yes, the air over here is a little dirtier. It's not the best to breathe. But other than that, it's useless to make a lot of, there's not a lot of differences between the West and the East. It entirely depends on how you take it and how you sort of interact with the environment,
yeah.
Right?
So that's a great point, you know, about the academies, right? Them getting more strict and, you know, absolutely the infrastructure here is getting better. People are investing more money. The other side of the ecosystem, you know, not the offline bit, not talking about trainers, not talking about, gyms and infrastructure in general, talking more about, you know, content creation. You know, the people are looking to the internet for every type of information. They're using all sorts of sources to make decisions for eating, for drinking, for working out. What is your take on that? And, you know, where do you see that kind of adding value or being a hindrance in people's journeys?
So there's a lot on the internet. It's huge. And I think, I mean, I don't know the numbers on this, but it's probably the most saturated area on the internet is health and fitness and wellness in general. Having said that, there's a lot of good information out there. And there's a lot of bad information out there. And how you basically curate and filter out the bad from the good is through trial and testing.
Yeah.
I think to answer the first part of your question in terms of what a lot of content creators need to do is that they need to stop focusing on idealism, basically, and just putting out pictures of men with 8-packs and women that have, you know, beautiful posteriors and bikini bodies and they're all, you know, runway models and stuff. It has to, the content completely, the majority of the people in the world are sedentary, right? Most of the people in the world are not working out.
Yeah.
The main challenge in the fitness industry is to get people off their butts, right? And the second you're able to do that, that's half the battle won. Yeah. But the way to do that is to basically, on the internet, is to show, a lot of transformations and to speak to everyday people that have been sitting on their butts and have now basically gotten up and they're doing something about it. So the more that content creators focus on this section of people, the more it becomes relatable and the more people are going to get up off their butts, basically.
So the narrative needs to change, right?
Completely. It needs to completely change. Yes, there's a lot of information on this already, but it's just not enough because there's a lot of like everyday stories that you and I can get inspired by.
Yeah.
People are on the internet to look for that kind of inspiration, but just looking at someone in a 6-pack or just looking at Mr. Olympia or something like that is not going to get you off your butt because you're just like, I can never achieve that.
Yeah, it almost feels too far to actually reach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, tell me if you agree or disagree here. I feel like a lot of the problem with the content creation bit also is that a lot of people are actually just doing this for hits and for advertising revenue and for, you know, the hopes of monetizing these communities one day, right? Personal rule that I try to have with people that are creating content is that this is not where they make money from. This is purely out of passion, purely out of, you know, depth of knowledge and wanting to share that with other people as opposed to ki matlab paisa kamayenge.
Absolutely. The clickbait thing is never going to change. Because there's plenty of people. The second you have an industry, there's going to be people that manipulate it for their own means and for their own purposes. That's never going to change.
Yeah.
But you as a user, you have to learn how to sort of filter good from bad again. I mean, the fact that it's not going to change should not hinder your progress. It should not hinder your flow in terms of your workouts. Keep your workouts consistent. Keep your diet in place. Make sure that you get enough rest. It's not rocket science once you've gotten into the flow. It's just like learning anything new. It seems like a big mountain when you look at it at the bottom, or when you're standing on top of the mountain, or when you're even halfway to the top of the mountain, it feels like, man, why was I even thinking about it so much? Right? So the internet can be an absolute devil if you want it to be, and it can be an absolute angel as well.
Yeah.
So it really depends on how you look at it. And seek out, you know what, honestly, on the internet, it can be so confusing because I've been through this entire cycle myself. Don't look at every single video that you see on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? Find one or two gurus that you think match your philosophy and match your lifestyle and somebody that you aspire to, and then follow those people hardcore. Because if you follow them long enough, they will take you through so many different kinds of workouts, so many different kinds of, you know, nutrition patterns and stuff that you will know exactly what works and what doesn't. And then, that's my take on...
Nice,
on
so ideally where you are right now, right? Like you said that I don't need to go to classes. It's something you've already taught yourself all of this and you're sticking to it. You've seen the results that it's given you.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, the internet, I don't care what level you're at, you have to keep learning about new techniques, new methods that you can then test on yourself after you've reached a certain level and then decide for yourself whether you like it, whether you don't like it and stuff. Because you have to make fitness fun, right? Yeah. If you don't make it fun for yourself, you're not going to want to do it. Somebody that's an ace mathematician is not somebody that hates mathematics. He absolutely loves mathematics. So if you make it enjoyable for yourself, then you will undoubtedly see results.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point about how to kind of, you know, keep yourself motivated and learning more. You know, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit towards this. You know, what are some of the things that you have used in your life that have worked really well? So, right, some tips for our listeners. What are some sources on the internet that you live by, that you have? What are some people that you respect, that you've got information for, that work for you?
There's so many channels. I like a completely non-fitness related channel is figure is Sadhguru. I just like his philosophies on life in general because they're very practical, they're very realistic. Yeah. I like there's a particular channel for meditation that I used to follow, which was called the David Lynch Foundation. So they were the ones that started this entire transcendental meditation movement.
Yeah.
And it's very non-religious stuff. So you can watch it completely from a very platonic place.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a lot of value.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fitness gurus out there. I like, there's an Indian fitness guru, in fact, called Guru Maan Fitness.
Okay.
And I think he's based in the States. He lives on the West Coast. And, you know, he's made a huge name for himself. He gets a lot of views and he gets those views because he's legitimate. Like in the sense he's, of course, he's got a great physique, but the information that he gives very actionable insights.
And valuable information.
And valuable information that you can act in day-to-day life. And stuff like, for instance, is paneer in the Indian diet good for you? Is it bad for you? How to reduce your carbs, how to increase your proteins, etc., etc. So he's someone that I don't necessarily follow, but someone that I would advocate for sure.
Nice. Before we move on to the tips bit for, you know, on the fitness side of things, on people's journey, you know, what are some things, I think a lot of people that I've spoken to know the value of meditation, and so do I. And, you know, I'm not as regular as you are. I'm not able to, you know, still at this point inculcate that every single day. What are some small steps our listeners and me can take to actually be able to be a little more regular to it?
So, I mean, with me personally, I started meditation because I was at the edge of my drinking. Like in the sense, if I had continued, you know, drinking, I would have probably been a certified alcoholic.
Yeah.
So I reached that breaking point where I had to take a decision. But if you have absolutely no reason to get into meditation and then you want to get into meditation, I'd probably say give it a shot. You know, because it's almost as if it's an acquired taste. It's like the first time you taste beer in your life. It's a bitter. Fluid, but over time you sort of acquire the taste, right? Meditation is like that, because the first time you sit down to meditate, it'll be absolutely impossible because your mind is just wandering in all directions, and it's not normal to just sit still.
Yeah.
To be honest, you'll start seeing results in a couple of days if you do it religiously, even for 5 to 10 minutes every day. You'll see that while you're meditating, it may not be that good, but then the meditation sort of flows into every other activity where you're just so mindful, and it just overall improves the quality of life, you know, in whether it's your health, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your relationships, your fitness, everything. Everything sort of builds on its own, and meditation is the center point, for me at least. And that's what I advocate. So I'd probably recommend, you know, start with even 5 minutes.
Yeah, start small.
Start small, do 5 minutes and do it for a week. And then if you feel the need to do more, then add up. I mean, meditation, to be honest, it doesn't necessarily have to be an activity where you're sitting down still or you're, you know, hiding in a cave somewhere in the mountains and meditating. Yeah. It can be in every single activity. I bring meditation into my workouts. When I'm doing a set of 12 repetitions of bicep curls, for instance, I'm 100% there.
Yeah, you're doing it mindfully.
Yes. I don't bring my phone into into the gym. I'm 100% focused on the activity that I'm doing.
Yeah. That's great, man. I think that's super useful for me and for other people that are, you know, meaning to get into it and seeing the value of it on either work or workout in general. What are some tips that you can, you know, give to our listeners from the perspective of somebody who's been, you know, made so many changes in their life and been able to maintain this amazing level of fitness personally and also based on your professional background, you know, for some of our listeners, what are some things they can start?
So many changes, actually. I'd probably say the number one thing in no particular order, I'd probably say start drinking at least 3 times the amount of water that you're currently drinking.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that when your body is depleted of even 5% of its normal level of water, your mind doesn't function properly. And when your mind doesn't function properly, you can't do anything properly. Yeah. So start drinking at least 3 times the amount of water that you're currently drinking. It's made a huge difference to my life. 70% of your body is made up of water. So that's probably practical tip number one. And number two is, you know, reduce the amount of, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, reduce the amount of carbohydrates you're eating, but don't reduce the amount that you're eating in all. I'd say replace those carbohydrates with protein. Even if you're a vegetarian, there's so many sources out there. Yeah. So don't reduce the amount that you're eating, but increase the amount of proteins. The last practical tip I'll probably give is, you know, looking at fitness in terms of an everyday process, falling in love with the whole process. You know, you don't wake up one day and say that if you brush your teeth regularly for the next 6 weeks, then you don't have to brush for the rest of your life. That's just not the way it works. Yeah. If you look at it as an activity that you just have to do and you have to stick to a routine, you will undoubtedly see the results that you want, but you have to be patient with it, right? You can go to any trainer in the world, you can go to any doctor in the world, you can go to any professional in the world, and nobody is going to give you a magic pill, right? That's the reason this podcast exists.
Yeah,
that's the reason
absolutely.
The entire industry exists is because there's no freaking magic pill.
Yeah, awesome. There you have it. 3x the water. Make sure that this is a journey and you enjoy it, and cut those carbs, huh?
Yes, exactly.
The last bit I wanted to touch upon with you, man, is, you know, we've known each other for many years. We have a lot of common friends that referred to you for your fitness as well. And I've been following your journey for many years now. And I know that you travel a lot. You know, just before we started recording, you were telling me about your awesome trip right now. How does one actually, you know, you're probably used to a gym, you're probably used to a park where you work out a lot. How do you, you know, what is the suggestions that you have for people that whether it's for work, whether it's for pleasure, that travel a lot, how do you maintain the fitness level during that time?
So, I mean, the way you sort of integrate travel and fitness together is that as a mandatory thing, you have to put your workout gear and your equipment and, you know, your clothing and stuff, your gloves and stuff into the suitcase
with you,
with your toiletries and with your shoes. You're not going to forget your shoes. You're not going to forget your toiletries. Why should you forget your fitness equipment? So you put it in, even if you know there's no gym in the hotel, for instance. And then you make it a habit in the sense that, you know, for instance, if you're traveling for pleasure, it makes it even easier because you have more time.
X amount of time, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're traveling for work, that is also not a problem at all because you have a particular routine.
Yeah.
Right? So there's absolutely no excuse. And at the end of the day, the way you, if you have a particular plan that you're sticking to and you're traveling, let's say for a week, the number one tip that I can give you is that whatever workout you do, I'm not going to get into the details over here, make sure that it's extremely intense.
Yeah.
To the point that even if you're working out in a 4x4 room and you're staying in a hostel, make sure that even if you're doing burpees on the spot, those burpees by the end of a 20-minute session have absolutely killed you.
Yeah.
Right? So you've done your bit.
Yeah.
And that's about it. You can't look at, I mean, you're not going to find a fancy gym with heavy weights everywhere you go.
Yeah.
There's no way. And you shouldn't sort of limit your travel plans based on which hotel has a gym and which doesn't. But you just make the most of the surroundings in which you're in. So one useful trick is to actually, pick up skipping, for instance, which is something that you can do even in a room.
Absolutely. You can do it outdoors anywhere you want.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So those are some of the travel tips. Yeah. In terms of nutrition, I'd say that when you're traveling, you find different countries have different kinds of food. But do your research in terms of what your macros are.
Yeah.
And limit yourself to good food.
Yeah.
Don't try and binge.
Yeah. Just because you're on holiday doesn't mean you can't put in 100% into the workout or, you know, maintain that fitness level that you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It shouldn't hinder your progress at all.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Javi, for coming on, man. This has been a great chat. Really enjoyed it. And I'm sure our listeners are going to get a lot of value from this. And for anybody that, you know, wants to follow your journey or wants to get in touch with you, you know, all of that information will be in our show notes as well. Why don't you give a little shout to where they can find you?
Fantastic. So you can follow me on Instagram at Javir H. I think that's my handle. If you have any questions about anything that I've spoken or if you want to fight with me or have any arguments with me, you can always reach out to me over there. And my email ID is javir.hunch@gmail.com. And I'm also available over there.
Awesome. Right,
thank you so much for having me. And it's been an absolute pleasure.
Same here, man. Same here. Thanks so much. All right, guys. That was this week's episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, Castbox, Savan, or wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness and Instagram and Twitter as TPOW Podcast. This has been a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on manchamedia.com. Thanks for listening.